Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Tuesday class, June 10th, 2025, Zechariah.
Just to remind you, we have coming up next Monday, Vacation Bible School. Greatly appreciate all of your prayers for the VBS team, and that God would draw by His hand of grace all the children and parents who are supposed to be here. The kids are already really excited about it. It's a lot of fun for these kids, but most important, they hear the grace gospel. And many multitudes will be in heaven as a result of this. So encourage and greatly appreciate your prayer. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the Word of God this evening to Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2. The third vision, the vision of the surveyor. And we are at that, there are four promises given in this vision, and we're at promise number 4, which is the promise of divine judgment on anti-Semitism. And this is one of the great passages that teaches that. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, here we are in this passage on God's judgment, divine judgment on anti-Semitism, and last week, last Tuesday, the great blackout occurred. While I was reading, this is by far one of the best articles I've ever seen written explaining the real issue of anti-Semitism. And it's by Timothy Rabinek, and it's called Fighting the Spirit of Amalek, Why Anti-Semitism Has Been Skyrocketing Since October 7th. Now, I knew what I was going to be teaching, and I knew what I was going to be reading, and just when I got started, the lights went out. And you know what was great about that? I couldn't see any of you. I mean, it was black, totally black. Now, I still had the light of my overhead, And then Gary Brown brought in a, put a light here on the pulpit. And I knew, because this is directly who is totally the sponsor of anti-Semitism, Satan himself. He's the sponsor of all anti-Semitism. When you in any way have a hatred toward the Jewish people or the Jews, you are Satan's ally. You're his ally. You're not God's ally at all. And we have lots of Christians who are, well, they're living in Satan's cosmic system. They're the devil's disciples. When you are anti-Semitic, you are the disciple of the devil. It's evil, it's satanic to the core, and it's increasing all over America and all over the world. And that this article was the best one I've seen that goes right to the Bible and points out this is a spiritual issue. This is the angelic conflict. Anti-Semitism comes directly from Satan himself. Well, I read half of it last time. The lights went out. And just thought, I'll let you know, Al, when the lights went out, called up, said, want to know how long it was going to be? And they said, oh, it'll be 4 or 5 hours before it comes back on. Well, it came back on in 20 minutes. Pah! So we all looked at Satan and went, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And I thought that was the neatest thing, that the lights came. And I didn't stop. Now, any other idiot pastor would say, oh, okay, I think you all better just go home. We're not going to have any lights, so go home. I wasn't going to do that. I didn't slow down. I even talked louder when the lights went out. And I only went through half of the article. It's your privilege now to hear the second half of the article. The spirit of Amalek on October 7th, the sheer brutality of October 7th, with Hamas showing no mercy for even the most vulnerable, evokes the spirit of Amalek in the Bible. Amalek has become the embodiment of evil and an eponym for the timeless spirit of hatred against God's chosen people. The historic Amalekites disappeared. I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. There are no Amalekites today. They are the historic Amalekites disappeared, but their sinister name and hateful spirit are doing well in our day, wearing the masks of new ideologies. Israel's enemy is surprisingly successful in finding new hands and minds to plan and carry out further attempts to destroy God's chosen people. Before the Israelites entered Canaan, God reminded them of the cruelty of the Amalekites and their incomprehensible ruthlessness. Deuteronomy 25, 17 and 19. We can imagine the scene in the wilderness. Jacob's descendants were weary, tired, and thirsty, They mustered the last of their strength, desperately seeking a place to rest. Gradually, the strongest and most persistent, those who were armed, moved to the front of the column. And then the weak, the women with the children, the older men and the sick, they gathered at the rear. Passing through Rephidim, they entered the stone bed of a dry stream, surrounded on all sides by high, steep rocks, almost obscuring the sky. And there, the Amalekites attacked them. They didn't attack the warriors leading the column, but they attacked the weakest families in the rear of the formation. And the massacre was shameful and ruthless, driven solely by a desire to annihilate an entire nation. Amalek's aim was genocide. The Amalekites did not want to demonstrate tribal superiority or defend a territory. They did not desire to negotiate or secure slaves or impose tribute. Though plundering the possessions of the dead was certainly a benefit, their primary goal was this: the extermination of the Israelites, regardless of the disgrace that it brought. Even more harrowing, the Bible reveals that the progenitor of this clan, Amalek, Genesis 36, verses 12 and 16, was a grandson of Esau, Jacob's twin brother. This profound tragedy within the human family echoes the primordial crime of Cain against Abel. Like Cain, who defiantly claimed he was not his brother's keeper, Amalek similarly displayed no reverence for God. The lust for murder and the denial of a person's right to exist are satanic all the way, that deeply pierces the loving heart of our Creator. Amalek displayed a searing hatred for all mankind, which was first manifested by the serpent, Satan, in the Garden of Eden. Because Satan knew, Genesis chapter 3, Satan knew that the chosen people, when they settled in the land promised to them by God Himself, would birth the Redeemer, the Messiah. The Messiah who would crush his head, Genesis 3:15, and put an end to Satan's evil world domination. Therefore, exterminating the Jewish people would wipe from the face of the earth humanity's only messianic hope and our only chance for salvation and our only opportunity to be freed from Satan's kingdom. Colossians 1:13. Amalek's action was like committing suicide for all mankind. It not only brought suffering to God's chosen people, but it represented the worst kind of betrayal of man against man. Despite millennia of development and technological advancements, October 7th shows that the fallen human nature is still obsessed with annihilating the critical component of God's plan for redemption. Only a biblical perspective can help us understand this illogical, destructive hatred of the Jewish people. As Bible-believing Christians, we must teach the Word of God, which clearly exposes the Satan-led hatred toward the Jewish people. And the most effective weapon in this fight is the Word of God. But the Word of God isn't taught very much anymore. We have all kinds of things in its places. But the Word of God is taught here. 5 times a week. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, twice on Sunday. Not in one book, but in 4 different books. And always in an Old Testament book, which is absolutely important. And today, very few pastors even go to the Old Testament scriptures. And that explains the condition why we're in America today. Well, we're in this great book of Zechariah. 14 chapters. In the first 6 chapters, we got 8 visions that were given to Zechariah in one night. 8 visions. We're only on number 3. Zechariah 1:7 to 6:15, 8 visions given to Zechariah. In the first chapter, there were 2 visions given. The red horse rider and the 4 horns and the 4 horn cutters. Now we're in chapter 2, vision number 3, the vision of the surveyor. And God gave Zechariah 4 promises in this 3rd vision. In verse 4, promise number 1, great prosperity. Here's the remnant that have come back. Cyrus the Great and Darius the Great, both great believers, by the way. They wanted the Jewish people to go back to their homeland, go back to Jerusalem, and rebuild the temple. That's the primary reason they're sending them back. To rebuild the temple, put spiritual priorities number 1. Don't worry about building everything else, fortifications, all that, because Jesus Christ will be a wall of fire around you and protect you. You will have a wall of fire of protection from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And that's the 2nd promise. Promise number 2, verse 5. The Lord Jesus Christ will be a wall of fire around you and protect you. And then promise number 3, there would be a great population explosion. And he tells all the people, there are a lot of Jews still living in Babylon. Get up and get out of Babylon. Get back to Jerusalem. Get back to Judah. And there was a huge population explosion. Verses 6 and 7, that's promise number 3. And then that brought us to promise number 4, and that's where we are now. Divine judgment on anti-Semitism. Verses 8 and 9. God's judgment on anti-Semitism. All the nations who plundered and destroyed Israel and the Jewish people will come under divine judgment. We exegeted verse 8 and part of verse 9. Verse 8 sounds like this. Because thus says the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, He, God the Father, sent me, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, after glory, to the nations that have plundered you, because whoever strikes, harms, abuses you, the word touch, but it means touching, strikes, harms, abuses you, the Jewish people, they strike, harm, and abuse the apple of God's eye. And the apple of God's eye is an anthropomorphism for the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God. What the righteousness of God accepts, the justice of God blesses. What the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. The nations who strike down, abuse, and harm the Jews will come under divine judgment from the justice of God. And that phrase, the apple of God's eye, that's an anthropomorphism because God doesn't have an eye, He's spirit. However, we have eyes, and the apple of our eye is the pupil. And the pupil of the eye is one of the most protected parts of the human body. That's the principle here. The pupil of the eye is one of the most protected parts of the human body. Bone structure around the face, brows, eyelashes, eyelids, tear ducts, all these things. And what, therefore, the apple of God's eye, or the pupil of God's eye, is an anthropomorphism that puts the spotlight on the fact that God protects the Jewish people. God protects the Jewish people. And He uses this term, Israel, as the apple of His eye in Deuteronomy 32, 9 and 10, and Psalm 17, 6 through 9. And then in verse 9, we exegeted just the first part of it. You could translate it surely, but you know, surely I'd joke about that. We'll go certainly. Okay. For certainly, don't call me surely, you know. For certainly I will raise my hand in judgment against them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants. Wow, this is a very unique statement here. This is the conjunction vav prefix to the cal infinitive absolute of hayah plus the noun shalal plus the masculine plural of the noun evad with the third person plural masculine suffix. Now the conjunction vav. Vav. The vav here expresses an inference or consequence. It may be translated so or then or so that. We're going to translate it so that. So that. And then the Hebrew to be verb. H-A-Y-A-H. Haya. The Hebrew to be verb. So that they will become. So that they will become, and then shalal. S-H-A-L-A-L, shalal. And shalal means prey, or means spoil, it means plunder, and shalal is used for the spoil of war. Spoil of war. And then we have the plural of the noun evad. That's the slave. With the third person plural masculine suffix. Literally, to their slaves. This is an idiom. It means so that their slaves will plunder them. so that they will become plunder for their slaves. So, corrected translation, for certainly I will raise my hand in judgment against them, all the nations, with anti-Semitism, trying to destroy Israel and the Jewish people. For certainly I will raise my hand in judgment against them so that they will become plunder for their own slaves. And then, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me. This is the conjunction vav, prefix to the cal perfect of yada, plus the second person plural subject, plus the conjunction ki, joined by a makef to, we have our tetragrammaton, and the plural of the noun sava, Jehovah Tsevaoth, and the verb shalak, with the first person singular masculine suffix. Once again, the vav expresses an inference or a consequence, and we will translate it then, and then the verb yada. Now I say yada, no, this is the comets, this is the pathak, and I say that so that you can distinguish between a comet and a pathak, but they would say yada. They pronounce them both the same. Y-A-D-A-I, yada. But I do that so you can know that there's one's the comets and one's the pathak, see? And you can just sit there and go, I'm with you, Pastor. Okay. And this is the verb, Hebrew verb, to know. And then after verbs of decendi, the conjunction ki is correctly translated that. It tells what we will know. And what we will know is Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, shalak, with the first person singular masculine suffix, shalak. S-H-A-L-A-C-H, shalak. And that is the verb to send, has sent me. Then you will know that the Lord of the armies has sent me. So, the fourth promise, Zechariah 2, 8 and 9. Because thus says the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, He, God the Father, sent me, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, after glory, to the nations that have plundered you, because whoever touches you strikes, abuses, harms the Jews, strikes, abuses, and harms the apple of God's eye. For verse 9, for certainly I will raise my hand in judgment against them so that they will become plunder for their slaves. And then you will know that the Lord of the armies has sent me. All right. Well, that brings us to the doctrine of anti-Semitism. The doctrine of anti-Semitism, and I'll guarantee you this should be taught all over America in every sound Bible doctrine church. This should be taught right now, again and again and again and again. This is something that should be being taught. You need to understand the absolute truth with this. This, because when you, if you in any way have any hatred toward the Jewish people, or the Jews, the nation Israel, in any way, you are a disciple of the devil. You're the devil's disciple. Now you say, no, I, excuse me, I'm getting going here, and there goes my voice. Eh? Now what am I doing wrong? Supposed to use my diaphragm. not my vocal cord. Ooh, keep drinking that way. David kicked the shit out of Goliath, you know, he didn't do it. No, we got all these Christians in America. They're Christians. They'll be in heaven. And they're the devil's disciples. They stand with Satan himself. They don't stand with Jesus Christ. They don't stand with the living and true God. They stand with a fallen angel who's the ruler of planet Earth. And that ruler of planet Earth, he's trying to win the angelic conflict. And he's been trying ever since Genesis 3:15. He's been trying to win the angelic conflict. And from the moment that Genesis 3:15 was presented and he found out that the Messiah would crush his head, the attack was on the line of Christ from then on. Attack was on the line of Christ. He failed. Then the attack was on Jesus Christ himself. And the attack, he tried to put all the children to death who were 2 years old and younger, hoping to kill the Messiah as a child, as a baby. He failed. And now, if he can exterminate every Jew from the face of the earth, annihilate all the Jews, terminate all the Jews, he will win the angelic conflict, because then God's a liar and he won't be able to fulfill the four unconditional covenants that he's promised to Israel that will be fulfilled in the millennial kingdom. He's still going absolute, all out, to terminate and annihilate every Jew from the face of the earth. Now it's going to hit whole new gear in the 7-year tribulation period, because there's no more restraining ministry of God the Holy Spirit. It's gone. Restraining ministry of the Spirit's gone. And it only takes 7 years to get to the point of the destruction of planet Earth. Only 7 years. Not very long. So we don't, Christians don't know the doctrine of anti-Semitism. It's not being taught from pulpits, even from doctrinal pulpits. But then most doctrinal pulpits, they don't even teach anything from the Old Testament. And that's part of the problem. The doctrine of anti-Semitism. Point one is the meaning of anti-Semitism. The meaning of anti-Semitism. Subpoint one, anti-Semitism is a person or a group or an organization or a nation who is hostile to the Jewish people and the Jewish nation. Hatred toward the Jewish people and the Jewish nation. Now, anti-Semitism, Semitism comes from Shem. Oh, you know, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And from Shem come all the Semitic peoples. The descendants of Shem are classified as Semitic peoples. Therefore, Semitic peoples include the Akkadians, the Elamites, the Assyrians, the Chaldeans, the Arabs, the Syrians, the Lydians, the Carians, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Midianites, some Armenians, some Ethiopians, and the Jews. All of those are from Shem, Semitic peoples. So the term anti-Semitic is a bit of a misnomer, because being anti-Arab is not anti-Semitic. Not. So, two, anti-Semitism applies only to the Jews, the Jewish people, as a race and as a nation. Only. Anti-Semitism applies only to the Jews as a race and as a nation, not to all Semitic peoples. Three, the term is defined as intolerance, hatred, prejudice, opposition, persecution, and the exercise of terrorism and military activity against the Jews and the Jewish nation. The term is defined as intolerance, hatred, prejudice, opposition, persecution, and the exercise of terrorism and military activity against the Jews and the new Jewish nation. Four, since the Jews are the center of the angelic conflict, there is a great satanic motivation and opposition against the Jews, not only in the Middle East, but throughout the entire world. Since the Jews are the center of the angelic conflict, there is great satanic motivation and opposition against the Jews, not only in the Middle East, but throughout the entire world. Five, this persecution and hostility to the Jews will reach its peak in the 7-year tribulation period, because the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit is kaput. It left with us, the church, the royal family of God. So this persecution and hostility to the Jews will reach its peak in the tribulation. Six, Satan is the sponsor of all anti-Semitism. If you're anti-Semitic, hatred toward the Jews, Israel in any way, you're simply the devil's disciple. That's it. You are not honoring God. You're not glorifying God. You're the devil's disciple. You're a loser living in Satan's cosmic system. Satan is the sponsor of all anti-Semitism. 7. Anti-Semitism is part of Satan's plan called evil. Anti-Semitism is part of Satan's plan called evil. Eight, Satan has two major objectives in the unfolding of anti-Semitism. Two major objectives in the unfolding of anti-Semitism. The historical objective, and the prophetical objective. Historical objective and prophetical objective. Historical objective. The historical objective in which Satan, first of all, attacked the line of Christ. From the beginning of Genesis 3, when he found out that the Messiah would crush his head, then it began historically attacking the line of Christ. And he came very close. He had the fallen angel angelic infiltration on planet Earth. And we had all of these Nephilim, half angelic, half human beings. And there were only 8 members of true humanity left. But God brought a worldwide judgment, a Mabul, worldwide judgment. Everyone was destroyed except for Noah, his wife, his sons, and the animals, 2 by 2, coming on the ark. And by the way, they almost down shocked. We think we found Noah's Ark. And that coming out again. Well, of course, it's up there on Ararat. And ever from time to time, the snow and ice separate. And then they, wow, there's Noah's Ark. Yeah, it's there. That was where he got real close to winning the angelic conflict. Attack the line of Christ. That's historical. Then he attacked the birth of Christ. Tried to kill all of the male children to eliminate the Messiah. That's historical objective. To kill him before he could ever go to the cross. Satan failed in the historical objective. Then the prophetical objective. And the prophetical objective in which Satan seeks to destroy Israel before the second advent, so that the 4 unconditional covenants to Israel cannot be fulfilled. Nine. The reason for satanic opposition to the Jews is related to the 4 unconditional promises that God made to Israel. The Abrahamic, Palestinian, Davidic, and New Covenants. 4 unconditional covenants that God made to Israel. He will fulfill it. And for it to be fulfilled, there has to be Jews. And there will be a remnant of Jews at the near the end of the tribulation. There will be a tremendous evangelism. Tremendous evangelism. The 2 witnesses, 144,000 evangelists. The world will hear about the grace gospel. And near the end of that 7-year tribulation, the Jewish people, a remnant of Jews, will realize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. They will know for a fact He is the Messiah. And they will be in remorse. They'll be crying all over because they know they were the ones responsible for putting Him on the cross and crucifying Him. But actually, that was all a part of God's predetermined plan for eternal salvation, to solve the world's problem of sin. But they realized that they were the ones. Crucify Him! Crucify Him! And they will change their thinking, repent, place their faith in Jesus Christ and a remnant of the Jewish people, and there will be a remnant of Gentiles who will also respond to this great evangelism, and they will also go into the millennial kingdom. All of these four unconditional covenants guarantee the future of Israel. And they have not yet been fulfilled. They won't be fulfilled until second advent of Jesus Christ and the establishment of the millennial kingdom. 10. It is not the will of God for you to be anti-Semitic. It is not the will of God for you to be anti-Semitic. God has put an invisible wall of fire around the Jews to protect them from anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is racial prejudice directed toward the Jewish people. And racial prejudice is one of the greatest evils you could ever imagine. When you feel any racial prejudice, remember that Christ was judged on the cross for that person, paid the penalty for all of the sins of that person. So that's point one. Now point two. The declaration of the divine attitude toward anti-Semitism. God's attitude is clearly delineated in the third paragraph of the Abrahamic covenant, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, where He says, I will bless those who bless you, bless Israel, but the ones who curse you, despise you, I, God, will curse. And through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. All right. Let's take a look at that. First of all, that word bless. Barak. Barak. That's the Hebrew word to bless. And it's in the passive, meaning that we receive blessing from God by our attitude toward the Jews of blessing them. We receive blessing from God by our attitude toward the Jews of blessing them. I will bless those who bless you, Israel. We receive great blessing from God by our attitude toward the Jews of blessing them. Two, the prepositional phrase, through you. See, we have, first of all, I will bless those who bless you, Jewish people in Israel, but the one who curses and despises you, I will curse, and through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. What about that through you? That prepositional phrase, through you, is putting the spotlight on our Lord Jesus Christ. Is putting the spotlight on our Lord Jesus Christ. We are blessed through Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer. He's the one who made salvation open to every race, every person, every nation has been opened up through You, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the only Savior. Point three, principles of application. Principles of application. One, honorable people become evil people by compromising with evil. Honorable people become evil people by compromising with evil. Two, anti-Semitism is evil. It comes directly from Satan himself. Honorable people, by becoming anti-Semitic, take on the evil characteristics of anti-Semitism. Romans 12:21 says, stop being overcome by evil. A lot of Christians today are being overcome by evil. But overcome evil by means of the divine good. The divine good is the result of maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, which is applied skillfully and accurately to your life by the filling of the Spirit. Three, God intends that Israel will not only survive all anti-Semitism, but through regeneration there in the tribulation period, that remnant that will recognize Christ is the Messiah, through regeneration, they will become the final client nation to God in history during the millennial kingdom. So God intends that Israel will not only survive all anti-Semitism, but through regeneration will become the final client nation to God in history during the millennial kingdom. And the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ, will rule planet Earth. And He's a Jew in His humanity. Jesus Christ is a Jew in His humanity. He's the Son of David. And He will rule on the throne and rule planet Earth. And perfect environment, perfect prosperity, no more war, perfect health, all of these things will be provided in the millennial kingdom from a Jew, the son of David, ruling planet Earth for 1,000 years in the millennium. From the client nation to God, the last client nation to God, Israel. And nation, all the nations of planet Earth will come to Israel, the client nation to God. Come to Jerusalem for Bible conferences. That will be a unique time in human history. Four, throughout human history, God deals with Israel personally, and he doesn't need human help. Throughout human history, God deals with Israel personally without human help. Five, God punishes Israel when necessary. And therefore, the punishment of Israel is the monopoly of the Supreme Court of Heaven. God punishes Israel when necessary, and therefore the punishment of Israel is the monopoly of the Supreme Court of Heaven. Six, interference with the divine prerogative of discipline and punitive action to Israel is the source of great historical disaster. Great historical disaster to anti-Semitic nations and the destruction of anti-Semitic individuals. So interference with the divine prerogative of discipline and punitive action to Israel is the source of great historical disaster to anti-Semitic nations and the destruction of anti-Semitic individuals. Seven, racial prejudice. Well, that's a major issue of anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is racial prejudice. And racial prejudice is always detrimental to the individual who practices it. Anti-Semitism is racial prejudice. And racial prejudice is always detrimental to the individual who practices it and the nation who makes it their policy. Eight, God blesses both individuals and nations who are pro-Semitic. Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless you, Israel. In Jewish people, God blesses both individuals and nations who are pro-Semitic. Nine, Jesus Christ controls history, and therefore the overruling will of God has delivered Israel from terrible anti-Semitism. Jesus Christ controls history, and therefore the overruling will of God has delivered Israel from terrible anti-Semitism. And 10, there are two categorical recipients of the wall of fire doctrine. Two categorical recipients of the wall of fire doctrine. First of all, Israel, both personal and national. Israel, both personal and national, and secondly, the church universal, both individual believers and the assembly of believers in local churches around the world. All right. Well, that's a good start on a very important doctrine. And like I say, this is one of the most important doctrines that every member of the royal family of God needs to know inside and out. You don't ever want to compromise with evil. And there are so many Christians compromising with evil, and they've made themselves disciples of the devil. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our life. For we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.